good. That's good. Hey, we've been on this series called The Inner Life, where we've been looking at different things that would affect us, our soul, and then the possibilities that Jesus can bring us through them, that we don't have to stay stuck in these things and let them control our lives. And so here's a list of things that we've gone over so far. We started that with the concept that you were created in the image of God, that each one of us are image bearers. But that image got distorted at the fall, and so it led to fear. And to replace fear, we need trust in God. And so Miguel shared with us how trusting in God can overcome fear. And then we talked about lies, moving from lies to truth, from darkness to light, from shame to honor, moving from this concept of an orphan or slavery to an heir of God, and cursing, from curses to blessing. And this morning, we're going to be talking about grief, moving from grief to hope. And I think we grieve all different kinds of things. On Friday night, I began to grieve something. Myself and Keith Davey, one of our elders, and our boys, we took them to a rap concert. Why are you laughing? Because I'm a middle-aged white guy? Went to a rap concert in New York City, and Lecrae and Indie Mineo, who are two of the most amazing artists that I've ever heard in my entire life. And as we stood there in the middle of this mix, I looked around us, and I began to grieve something. I began to grieve my youth. Because every time they said, put your hands up, my body said, no, I don't really want to do that right now. And so literally all around us is like the whole 4 hours. And it was amazing, but at the same standpoint, like the more I tried to take pictures or videotape, I did some Facebook Live stuff, which I've never done before. I'm sitting there, I'm holding the camera up, and I had to switch hands every like 20 seconds because my arm and my back got tired. And I was doing this number and this number and this number. You could probably see it if you watch the videos. And I thought, when in the world did I get old? I don't know if some of you are laughing at me because I'm not there yet, but I'm there. When you go to that kind of environment, you realize it. And so this morning, I want to talk about moving from grief to hope. And I think there's all different kinds of things that we grieve. I think immediately our mind goes to when somebody dies, but there are a lot of different things that we grieve in life. And so I want to look at them this morning. And I know your bulletin says one thing, but God changed it on me. Not anger to forgiveness. We're talking about grief to hope. Isaiah 61 is where we're actually going to start this morning. Isaiah 61. And we're going to start on Isaiah 61, which is page 724 in most of the Bibles in front of you, and then we're going to look at Luke chapter 4. I know I generally do not do this. I like to stick with one passage of Scripture. I think it's easy when you look at it on a Monday morning to kind of rehash what was taught, but I like these two paired together, and you'll see why in a little, in a second. I want to look at these three things this morning as we look at these passages. First is this desire or need for hope. I don't want to just get stuck in grief. We've had a long, heavy series that we've talked about, and some of these things, when we get done, I mean, they sit pretty heavy in this room. And I know a lot of you have been processing some of these things, so I want to stick to the outcomes of grief. We'll talk about grief, but I really want to center this thing on hope. And then we'll talk about grief, and then that our hope is Jesus. So we're going hope, grief, hope this morning. So it's a hope sandwich, if that's okay with you guys this morning. So we're going to be looking at Isaiah 61, and Isaiah 61, page 724, in most of the Bibles in front of you, or on an app, or follow along with me as I read. This is what the prophet Isaiah says. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness and a planting of the Lord for the day of his splendor. So I'm going to center this thing in hope that only comes, in my mind, only comes from God. And there are several different phrases that get listed in here to help us kind of wrap our minds around hope. And maybe you identify with one of these phrases this morning. Maybe one of these phrases needs to identify with you. Bind up the brokenhearted. We can't make it very far in life without experiencing some kind of heartbreak. Comforting all who mourn, providing for those who grieve, oil of gladness instead of mourning, garments of praise instead of a spirit of despair. The prophet Isaiah is sharing some truth with us in this passage of Scripture to help us get to a point where we understand that we don't have to stay stuck. We don't have to sit or stay in that place of grief. In this church, our fourth value is we will invest in people. And we'll invest in people who will stay with us and people who we will send out. And we've sent out a number of people over the years. We've sent out almost a dozen in the last five. And when I came to this church 5 years ago and I sat with the board, I said, what are some of the things that the church struggles with? And they said that we're a sending church. You know, sometimes our heart gets calloused to when people leave. And so it's easier to leave the callous there than to build relationships with new people to invest in. And so that's one of the reasons why we chose we will invest in people as one of our fourth values. We don't want to stop being a church that invests in people just because it's hard to let people go sometimes. We don't want to do that. Otherwise, our heart becomes callous and we don't grow in relationship. And so one of the ways in which we want to live out this value is to own the fact that we're a sending church. And so I don't know if you noticed it this morning, but as you're walking in or you're walking out, on the left-hand side out here, we have a new bulletin board set up that says the commissioned. And these are people that we've sent out over the last 5 years. And so instead of getting sad that they have left us, I want us to own the impact that we've had on the people who've come into this church, who are now an extension of us around the world. And so on the right-hand side, we have those that we sent overseas, and on the left-hand side, we have those mostly that are in the United States of America. A couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we had the opportunity, some of us had the opportunity to interact with Sean and Jen Downey, who are with us for a couple years. And I sat with them and just listened to Sean talk about what's going on in his life and the place that he's at, and they're looking into being church planters, of starting a church from scratch. And he said, Jeff, I know through all the sending that this church experiences, sometimes that develops sorrow. But I would not be at the place that I'm at if it wasn't for Living Christ Church. I wouldn't be doing the things that God has called me to if it wasn't for the people of Living Christ Church. So when you see them, please let them know that I am an extension of them. I go empowered by how people have invested in me. We don't have to stay stuck in our grief. Hope has the possibility of overcoming it. And I know that sounds like lip service when we start this morning. So let's dive in to grief a little bit in order to push through. Isaiah the prophet here identifies the fact that grief exists. Aren't you glad? Sometimes we like to put things over in a corner or bottle them up or pretend they don't dare, and then they whittle away at us and die. And sometimes in Christian circles, we downplay the things that are bad and we upplay the things that God is giving to us. And we just say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But what happens when it doesn't feel like that's true? We say it again, God is good all the time. But what happens when it doesn't feel like that is truth? We were created as intimate beings by an intimate God who desires intimacy with us and others. And when that intimacy is attacked or distorted or hurt, there is undoubtedly grief that takes place. And isn't it awesome that the God of the universe who loves you understands this and wants you to grieve? He doesn't sugarcoat it or pretend it doesn't exist. So the prophet identifies that grief happens, and one of the main reasons for God coming to us is to restore us. One of the main reasons for God to interact with us is to deal with that grief, to walk with us through that grief. So maybe we should identify what this grief thing is. Grief normally comes as a result of endings or transitions, and is most often felt as a loss. This is a compilation of a lot of things that I looked at this week. But grief comes at endings and transitions. Something in life ends. Maybe it's life itself. Maybe a family member is no longer with you and there's an ending. Or maybe there's a transition. You're moving from one place to another. You're starting a new job. You have these feelings, or you're starting a new school or whatever it is. You're starting something. There's a transition taking place from here to here. And there's some uncomfortableness inside of you that really is grief. And we experience it as some form of loss. We're moving from one place to another. So what endings or transitions are you grieving with? Is the question I want to ask of us this morning. What endings or transitions are you grieving with right now? And I understand in a room this large that there could be a really, really long list here this morning. Or maybe you're in a really good place and you're like, Pastor Jeff, don't ruin my high. I'm feeling really good right now. Let's just stay there. I think that's great. It's good. But if we don't process these things, at some point in our lives, they'll come back and bite us. I love this quote. I sat on this quote all week from Henry Nouwen, and he says, "The losses that settle themselves deep in our hearts and minds are the losses of intimacy in separation, the loss of safety through violence, the loss of innocence through abuse, the loss of friend through betrayal, the loss of love through abandonment, the loss of home through war, the loss of well-being through hunger, heat, and cold, the loss of children through illness or accident, the loss of country through political upheaval, the loss of life through earthquakes, floods, plane crashes, bombings, and diseases. Perhaps many of these dark losses are far away for most of us. Maybe they belong to the world of newspapers and television screens, but no one can escape the agonizing losses that are a part of our everyday existence, the loss of our dreams." That's a tremendous list, and maybe he left something out, and maybe he didn't hit them all. And maybe for some of us, those are newspaper clippings or TV articles. Or maybe not. Maybe those are real life experiences. And we need to identify them this morning, not pass by them, not overlook them, but also not let them consume us. The effects of grief. These are just a few that I found. These are natural effects of grief. This is what happens to all of us. You can look these up. You can find them pretty easily on a Google search. Most of these are from Dr. Sengupta, who's on television a lot. The effects of grief are exhaustion, this concept of extreme tiredness. When we experience grief, how many of you have experienced grief and just not wanted to get out of bed? Your body naturally wants to shut down because you need to process these things. Difficulty thinking, a sense of being alone, depression or substance abuse, also heart issues. When you lose a family member, your risk of heart issues skyrocket the day after a loss, and they subsequently drop each day after that. But these are some of the natural effects that we feel when we grieve. And if we don't identify these, and we just allow them to sit, they will stay. We'll never, never in our lifetime forget the losses. We won't. And I don't believe that God is asking us to forget the loss. But he does want to bring us to a place of health in the midst of the loss. If we don't grieve, medical issues will continue. We can deaden our hearts, or we can compartmentalize our lives and get stuck in this thing called grief. Nguyen goes on to say in his book, somehow in the midst of our tears, a gift is hidden. Somehow in the midst of our mourning, the first steps of the dance take place. Somehow the cries that well up from our losses belong to our songs of gratitude. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. He understood loss and sorrow. We've spent a couple sermons on the story of Lazarus, one of Jesus' good buddies. And when he finds out that Lazarus has died, he cries. He not only cries, he weeps. He settles in and lets his humanity take over as he grieves the loss of his friend. The night before he gave his life for you and for me, he grieved to the point of sweating blood. This is not a foreign concept to Jesus. He took on flesh to walk through this life, to experience everything that his creation could experience, and he experienced this thing called grief and loss and sorrow. And he understands in the midst of this that there is a process by which we have to go through in order to get to a place of health. We have to, and we must. A couple years ago, my cousin passed away in a freak snowmobile accident. She was at a party, and people were doing snowmobile rides at midnight. Don't ask me why. But she got on the back of a snowmobile not knowing that the person driving had a blood alcohol content of over 2. And they drove into a tree. And it was a rough experience. And watching my aunt and uncle go through this process of grieving their child. And the weird thing about grief is that it is not linear. It's not like this step happens, and then this step happens, and this step happens, and this step happens, and this step happens, and all of a sudden you're better. It can be cyclical. And so you can start here, and at the beginning stuff can be, well, it's okay, because God loves me. And then the next day it can be extreme anger. But I'm mad. I'm frustrated. This hurts. But one of the most beautiful things I've ever experienced in the midst of loss was watching people interact at the funeral for my cousin. There was a few girls that had invited my cousin to that party, and they had begged her to come. She didn't necessarily want to go, and they begged her to come, and she went, and she died. And so they debated whether or not to show up at the funeral, but show up they did, and my cousin's really close friends were there, and I watched kind of the outside looking in as this group of young people and this youth group of young people tried to figure each other out. And I watched her close friends, who happen to have a relationship with Jesus, walk over and put their arm around the friends who brought her to the party. And there was something beautiful in the midst of that. And then my aunt and uncle walked over to them as well and put their arms around these young girls and said, we love you. I think the only way that is possible is Jesus. I think that it can happen apart from him for a moment, but without him, that moment fleets. And I watched my aunt and uncle continue to reach out to these girls, to continue to affirm that they loved them, that they cared about them. This passage of scripture in Isaiah 61 is brought back up in Luke chapter 4. And so if you would flip over to page 996, in the Pew Bible in front of you. In verse 16, it says, in Luke chapter 4, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogues, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I don't know if you caught it, but the beginning part of Isaiah 61 that we read is the passage that Jesus gets up to read. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus is the hope for those who are grieving. He is the one who came to bind up the brokenhearted. The prophecy that Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 61 is the future words of Jesus. "I have come to bind up the brokenhearted. I've come to turn sorrow into laughter and joy. I have come to bring healing in the midst of sorrow." My buddy Ron Walborn lists grieving with hope in Jesus this way, in five different ways. When you grieve with Jesus along for the process, you live proactively, not reactively. When you allow Jesus to walk on the journey of grief with you, you are being proactive as opposed to reactive. Instead of sitting and allowing the grief to overcome you, you're walking with Creator God, who is proactively helping you in the midst of your grief. You increase your emotional capacity to handle life and people more fully. When you allow Jesus into the picture to walk with you as Creator God, you open yourself up to be more emotionally susceptible to the people around you and see the people around you that love you when you normally wouldn't in the midst of the storm. It gives you freedom and permission to risk again. Keeps our hearts soft and gives you empathy for others and their issues so that you don't get stuck and stay on yours. And restores our capacity to trust God and people again. Not all these things are going to happen at first. They're not going to happen overnight. Grief is not linear. It's cyclical. It can come back up, and it can come back up, and it can bite you when you least expect it. It can pop back up, and you feel like, oh, here we go again. I didn't tackle that again. In the midst of that cycle, Jesus wants you to know that he sees you, he loves you, and he's with you. He sees you, he loves you, and he is with you. And I think it manifests in a couple different ways, and it's hard for us to see it in the midst of the storms, but I'd ask you to open your eyes to it. At that concert on Friday night, as I said, it was one of the most amazing concerts I think I've ever been to, and partly because Andy Mineo, one of the acts, is from New York City, and so it was kind of homecoming. And there was numerous times throughout the concert where everybody in this intimate crowd was chanting his name. Endymion, Endymion, welcome home, welcome home. And he'd have to pause and sit and listen and go, okay, let's keep going. I got more songs I want to share with you. And then at the end, before he did his last song, he said, this homecoming has been so important for him for one really important reason. Right before he left for tour, he lost his mother to cancer. Leukemia took her from this world. And he knew that if he didn't interact with people, he would curl up into depression and hide. So he stepped into the concert scene for the next 2 months. And he lands in New York City on Friday night to a homecoming of people chanting his name who also believe in Jesus. And he said, you would not, you guys have no idea how healing this is for me to sit and experience this, because I'm still in the midst of grief. In the midst of your grief, there are people around you who God has brought to a place of hope. And he wants to use them to help you to get to a place of hope in the midst of your storm. I think he uses people. I think he uses his creation. I said a couple weeks ago that I had the privilege and the sorrow of doing the funeral for my niece that was born stillborn. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do as a pastor, to stand there and try to do a funeral service with a handful of family members on this tiny little box that didn't make any sense in my human mind. And my father and I struggled through trying to do this thing. And there was anger, and there was frustration, and there was sorrow, and then there was anger again, and then there was sorrow, and then there was anger again. And we got done with the funeral, and we were walking up towards the cars, and then I heard this screech come out of a tree. And I knew immediately what it was, because I'm a birder. It was a bald eagle. And I saw this bird fly out from a tree across the street and encircle us. Just flew around screeching. And I don't know if you've ever heard a bald eagle before, but it doesn't sound like it should come from that body. You want it to be a little, I don't know, girthier, like a red-tailed hawk. Go listen later. And it's this cry. It's almost like a cry, And this bird flew around us, crying. And I was reminded of Scripture, which says, you will soar on wings like eagle. You will run and not faint. You will walk and not grow weary. And it was like God was saying, I know this sucks, but I haven't gone anywhere. I'm still here. And I know sometimes life sucks. It's hard because of the result of the fall of man. The world is deteriorating. Romans says, the earth groans, waiting in anticipation for the return of God. We will experience heartache throughout our lives, but we don't have to stay in the midst of heartache. The God of the universe took on flesh. His name was Jesus, and he wants to walk with you, alongside you, and through you in the midst of storms. Will we let him? There's a couple different ways I think we can allow that to happen, and some people greater than I have put these together, but I think one of the most helpful things for me in the midst of this is to make a bullet point list of the things that are grieving. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're good at making lists. Maybe some of you are like, I don't want to make a list, Jeff. All right, don't make a list. These are just helpful suggestions. Make a bullet point list. Make it any way you want. Maybe start with the small ones, your youth. When did I get so old? Down to the hard stuff, the people in your life that you've lost. And then spend some time journaling. I know that not everybody's a journaler. I'm a terrible journaler. But when you sit down and you write some of that stuff out, like those thoughts and those feelings come out. That's why David wrote the book of Psalms. And to get that stuff out, bring somebody else along on the journey. Right? Call somebody and go, listen, life sucks. And if somebody calls you and says, listen, life sucks right now, I need you, please do not hang up on them. Don't say, I have my own problems, because you're going to need them at some point. And I cannot stress this enough. It is okay to vent to God. He is big and he can handle it. I said a couple weeks, he's big and he can handle it. He can take it. Vent it. Give it to him. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He's not going to go, no, I'm not going to listen to that one. Sorry. He's God and he can handle it. And then if you have an experience of hope, share it. There are so many of us that need to hear the stories of hope in the midst of the storm. We lost my niece, Mia. She is not on this earth. She is with God in heaven. If she would not have passed, we would not have my niece, Ava. And we watch her on Friday. And every time I see that kid smile, it changes my soul. Share your hope. Share it. People need to hear it. People need to know that there is hope. Let me pray for us. Lord, I know that we could spend 7 weeks on grief and not do it justice for some. But in the midst of this short conversation on grief, I ask that you would speak through the noise. That you would speak through the storm. That those that would need to hear from you would hear from you this morning. Lord, I ask that you would help those who need to begin this process of grieving well with you would be able to grieve well starting today. That they would have opportunities to sit and to write and to journal and to vent and to talk with others to get to a point of not forgetting but growing in hope. And Lord, for those that are in a stage of hope this morning, of understanding, comprehending, believing, knowing that you are with them, I ask that you would empower and impart them to see those around who need that same hope. That they would not be held back. That you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and the words to say. In Christ's name I pray, amen.